Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a cheeky one. Square! And Spurs in! Kiefer Moore! A brilliantly worked set-piece! Skullduggery and winkery! Kiefer Moore! 1-0!
Hello, welcome to episode 209 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. My name's Sam Davis.
My name's Tom Jordan.
You're listening to the audio pod, so you probably can't see our faces. Well, you definitely can't. And I can tell you one thing, we are both smiling after AFC Bournemouth won at home again, and this time against Eddie Howe's Newcastle United. Tom, it's amazing how a win changes our emotions and our optimism going forward.
Yeah, it's a results business, isn't it? And as soon as you get that win, and I think now you start looking at things differently, go, okay, let's move City aside because it's City. And then you go, actually, we play quite well against Liverpool in Cup. We beat Burnley at home. Are we quite good now? I don't know. But yeah, it's been just great to enjoy a weekend of winning a game. Really pleased for the manager and the players. So hopefully we can kick on after the break now.
So myself and Tom, we're going to get stuck into it very shortly. But after the game, there were the fan cams. You can watch them all on YouTube. Just click on to the full-time Cherries playlist and you can see it there. But Tiggs was the man with the mic. And here are a few selected opinions at full-time.
Well, we did not quite expect that. We knew it was a good time to play Newcastle. But did we expect a 2-0 win? Probably not. No Billing. Neto back in goal. And some people were a little bit worried, but Neil, that was a result to be very, very happy with.
Yeah, very proud of the players today. I mean, they put in a great performance. Yeah. I think it's the sort of football that we have been hoping to see.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can say expecting to see, but certainly hoping to see all season. We were strong in defence, we were quick on the break, and yeah, a little bit more clinical than we have been all season in front of goal, so fantastic.
Well, you a little bit, I mean, 7 minutes of added time at the end there, that felt like a little bit lot, quite a lot, but we seem to have it under control, don't we?
Yeah, I didn't feel nervous at all.
No.
Often I do, coming into the added time, but tonight, no. I think we thoroughly deserve that victory.
Ryan Christie, he signed a new contract this week, and people were interested in see what his performance would be like. First half, couple of shots.
40 seconds, his first shot on target.
Wow!
40 seconds. And yeah, two shots on target in the first half. He didn't stop running all game. And I thought he was fantastic.
Yes!
Us Reds, apparently.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, indeed. And what an atmosphere today as well. You mentioned before we came on camera, you could tell, like, singing all game. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, the whole game. We got Eddie Howe in the house, and yet we're singing Iraola's name all the way through.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Best going on, Neil. All the best.
Okay, thanks.
Brilliant. Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
Brilliant.
Go on,
Hey, PK, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, good.
I've never, I don't think I've ever hugged a man as strongly as I hugged you today at the end of that game. Well, I might have. We won't get into that. But absolutely incredible. What did you think?
Yeah, it was a great performance, wasn't it? It like everything just clicked today. Whether, I don't know what I'm not entirely sure what happened to make it click. Maybe it's Billing not playing. Maybe he's the reason why we played better today. Who knows?
I mean, it felt like more of a team, didn't it? Rather than individuals.
Exactly. Yeah. It was what we used to have, you know, where we had a team of players that were playing for each other.
Yeah.
And everybody was working so hard. I mean, Ryan Christie, I'd love to know his like distance stats because he is literally all over the place.
He's ran a lot of the game, definitely. Yeah. Neto came back into goal. Yeah. He had a really solid performance, didn't he?
He did. He didn't do anything wrong as far as I could tell. His distribution seemed pretty good apart from a slip at the end. But yeah, he was good. Good. I was really pleased with everybody, actually. Everyone, Semenyo played really well.
Red! Thanks, lads.
Yeah, everyone had a great game. It was one of those matches where we played Newcastle. To be fair to them, we played Newcastle at the right time.
Yeah.
They had so many injuries and suspension. It's just, but you know, you can only play what's in front of you, and we outplayed them.
We did.
We outplayed them.
It kind of felt like we could have got three there, didn't it?
Well, we had 19 shots, 10 on target.
Wow.
10 on target.
That's incredible.
I mean, Nick Pope, at the end, what a save. Yeah. At the end, that was incredible. I mean, he was their man of the match, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on, Paul. Okay. Hey, Kay, how you doing, buddy?
Under the light.
Hey, it's Charlie Daniels. Charlie Daniels didn't want to come on. But he might do another day.
But you got me, though.
You got you. You've got a good left foot, occasionally, have you?
Right, it's better.
Oh, you're right, on the right wing.
I'm okay
on the
left.
You were a winger, weren't you?
I was a winger, both-footed, I like to think. But that was fun, under the lights, missed them days.
Didn't it feel different?
That was good. That was good.
What an atmosphere.
Yeah, and although, you know, Newcastle fans might say that they're very thin with their squad, we're missing £50 million worth of talent that's meant to be the heart of this vision, and I thought that we got it absolutely right tonight.
It felt a little bit like an Eddie Howe Cup side.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it did.
I just felt like we approached the game really well. We were on the front foot. I thought we were pressing really well. Even going in at half time, we probably wanted to be a goal or two up. We didn't take those chances. But I felt like we were calm about the situation. We sort of let the foot off the gas at the end of the first half just because we felt like we were going to come out the second half and really give it a go. We did give it a go. Everything that we tried, we had the heart and the running from Christie. We've had Senesi's range of passing was ridiculous. And that's why he was in the side today. Dom Solanke's got a brace, took advantage of that first goal, and brilliant. Managed it really well, Andoni. And in the words of Alex Scott, trust the process.
Trust the process. A lot of flexibility in that formation today as well, in that you could play wing backs, you could play a back four.
Yeah.
And he did that. He did a little bit cheeky, little moving things around. Tavernier, what did you think of his performance today?
Yeah, because I'm a big fan of Tavernier. I think he's my favourite winger. I don't think everything's coming off for him at the moment. The goals, the assists, but what he gives you is he off the ball, he's very, very good. He can play inside, he can play wing back. So like you said, he's got that flexibility and versatility. So I really like Tavernier, the way Justin Kluivert played behind Dom. Yeah. I want him to grow from a strength point of view. But once he gets space and space to drive into, he really does get away and he gets shots away as well. So he'll grow as the season goes on. I just thought it was really, really good. I thought it was a massive team performance. It's good for Neto to get a clean sheet, so I wouldn't have started him today, and that's going to be a good builder for him. So lots of positives for Andoni, lots of positives for the team. Second win of the season at home. Now we need to go into the international break, refresh, try and get a first away win at Bramall Lane would be nice.
That would be really lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you. Albert Chez.
So for the 2023-24 season, Back of the Net is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game.
Yeah, Green King Sport's venues are showing every televised Cherries fixture over the course of the season. So instead of turning to the internet for a dodgy stream, get your mates together, get down to your local Green King pub and get closer to the action.
That's what you did on Saturday, didn't you? This season, Green King have launched the Green King Sport Instagram page, which will be the home to fan content, deals and competitions throughout the season. They've already given away Champions League final tickets and signed shirts, so you don't want to miss out.
Yeah, drop them a follow on Instagram as well. You won't just be the first to know about all of this, but you'll also be helping us out Back of the Net, so we really appreciate it.
So the first thing we usually do, Tom, is check out the league table. And we're going to do that right now. And if you're listening on the audio pod, don't worry. We will talk you through it. There's a dotted line. Three teams are below it. Bournemouth are not one of them. It was a fantastic win against Newcastle United and chuffed to bits. Mm. We are in 17th. We're not out of the woods. One swallow does not make a summer. However, we saw glimpses of what we all thought we might get under Iraola, and it happened to be against the manager that also had a similar style of football as well. It was free-flowing. It was beautiful to watch. And really, I want to say that it probably flattered Newcastle, that scoreline.
Yeah, I'd say so a little bit, in the sense that if you said to Newcastle fans who was your best player, I don't think anyone's not saying Nick Pope. Mm-hmm. So I think that says all it needs to, really. I thought their goalkeeper was their best player. And credit to us. And there's not many games where you're ahead and you're not really bothered about the final whistle going, but I wasn't really. I mean, obviously they had to score two anyway, but I kind of thought, let's play a bit longer here because we look like we can get third. I think near the end of the game, we had so many chances. We'll obviously go into it later on, but 10 shots on target. I'd love to know, I haven't done the research, but did we ever have 10 shots on target last season in a game? I don't think we did. So what I looked at is I looked at Leeds 4-1 because I thought we battered them. No, we didn't have 10 shots on target. In our last four games of the season, we got 10 shots on target combined in them all together. I just can't remember the last time we had 10 shots on target. And then I go back to, you know, Parker and stuff, and I think there probably weren't many of them either. So
that's quite interesting, actually. Yeah. I mean, it felt like Sinisterra alone had, what, three or four?
Yeah.
But, you know, there were probably moments within the game where they're clear chances but not necessarily registering as a shot on target as well. There were several moments like that, but what a good performance. And firstly, I just want to commend the crowd.
Yeah.
Wow, that really makes a difference, doesn't it? I mean, I was in the North Stand, I was in the thick of it, and block 15 or whatever it is. And I could barely hear the Geordies. Now, when I watched the whole game back, which I have done, you can actually hear them quite a bit. So if you're in the main stand or Ted Mack, you would have heard them singing their Eddie and Jason Tindall, Sean. And you know what? We were once singing his name and JT's name, but now it's all about the Paella, the Estrella, and Andoni Iraola. How pleased are you for him to prove himself in a match where we weren't expected to win? Maybe against Burnley we were.
Yeah, I agree.
But in that performance, we won, and we put on a show.
Yeah, I know, I'd agree with that, because I think the games he's won as a manager, obviously in the Cup, so he beat Swansea, and he beat Stoke, and then he beat Burnley. And in them games, you'd say we were favourites in all of them games. I'd say this is the first time that he's won a game where we weren't favourites, albeit we were all a little bit more positive because of, you know, obviously how depleted Newcastle were. But also, I think if you kind of forget about City to a degree, like, every team will to a degree at stages. Then you go, okay, we beat Burnley in the league game, but actually the cup game against Liverpool was positive, I felt. And I was positive all week going to this game thinking, you know, we're doing all right, they've got a few players out. And then it was the Scott injury that made me think, but we are not getting the rub of the greener, this is going to be a toughie. But yeah, he'll be delighted. I'm delighted for him, mate. I really am, because I think that was a performance of a new style, a new philosophy. That was, he would have been going, that's what I want to see. We won centre midfield on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, it was just proper gung-ho, really exciting, rock and roll. And what was nice about that is you always think, okay, are we going to leave the door open? I didn't think we did. I thought we defended well as well. So, yeah, and every single player was brilliant. I didn't think anyone had a bad game. And, yeah, that was class. And, yeah, just everything about it was positive, mate. You know, you back up with a clean sheet along with all them chances as well.
We've said it before, though, one swallow doesn't make a summer, and that is one performance out of many performances that we've had this season, and there have been some abject ones, but it's all about following that up now, and then we certainly need to do it in the games ahead of us. So we're not out of the woods. We are completely aware of that, and it's almost like Andoni's own emotions were a little bit tempered at full time, because you sort of wanted him to give a bit back to us because we were singing his name, but he was obviously delighted with the win and he was hugging his players, but he wasn't maybe, you know, giving it to the fans, but maybe that's not his style.
No, I think that's probably not his character anyway, but also I quite like that I watched the kind of interview after the game, and he's not that, but you think he'd be so relieved, so buzzing, smart. He's kind of like, well, we need to win more games. You know,
it doesn't too low.
We need more points. You know, I agree with him, because really, we said about the fixture and stuff, you go, well, we expected to get something against Everton and probably beat Wolves, with it being at home, and we didn't get anything out of them too. So even though we didn't expect to beat Newcastle, it would go, okay, well, that kind of makes up for a little bit. But Yeah, you say, I agree that was our best performance by a mile, but I think there were positives against Burnley, positives against Liverpool in the Cup. Some positives earlier on in the season, weren't there, in the first few games, there were moments at Anfield and Brighton. But it was definitely our best performance. But I don't think we've had, even though we've had only a couple of good bits, I think we've only had a couple of horrific bits. So I'd say the Everton game was obvious, that was awful. And we've had a few bad performances, but I think on the whole, it's just been a little bit, we're not quite there. And it was nice for me to watch a game and think, I think they're starting to get it.
How much of your own emotions, though, have been reined in by the fact that Newcastle were so depleted? I mean, look, you can only face what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And like we said, I think 2-0 should have been 4-5, really, yeah, based on the chances. Even watching Match of the Day, sometimes it doesn't quite represent what we saw as fans. And to be fair, they did still miss out a bundle of chances, really, that we had. Mm. However, do you sort of maybe take a step back and think, actually, we only got that result because Newcastle were so depleted?
Really, of course, that made a hell of a difference. You know, if they got some, sprinkle a bit more quality in there, it'll be a harder game. That's what it is. I'm sure it's the same for a lot of teams. You know, when they get a result against one of the bigger boys, you need a bit of the rub of the green, whether that be through their missing a few, kind of with ourselves and with Wolves at the weekend against Tottenham as well. It was similar. One of that was the other game on telly, the early kickoff. Very similar, but you have to still take chances, as us and Wolves did, and you go get the rub of the green, and we had it with that. But having said that, I think at the start of the season, if you had said, name your best Bournemouth three midfield, I reckon a lot would have said Scott, Adams and Billing. We had none of them. They're key players for us. We haven't got as well. I know they had a lot more, but you know, for a team like ourselves who aren't punching in the same kind of stage in the league table as Newcastle, we had some key players out as well. I was just impressed with the way we went about it. I looked at the team and I was like, oh God, I'm not sure about this. We could be too open. But if we had scraped a win and it was quite edgy, thank God we got the win, but bloody hell, we only just done it and they got a lot of players out. Well, I thought we were the better team all game. You'd always say from minute one, from less than that, because I think Cristiano shot on target after less than a minute. And I thought as soon as the whistle went, we were on it. My only concern during the whole game was at half-time when I thought we should be ahead. This could buy us. But it didn't.
It didn't. So the players that were omitted, of course, we know the players that were injured, but also Philip Billing. Mm. And I think Iriola said something along the lines of he didn't have some good sensations yesterday.
He loves that little phrase, doesn't he?
Maybe it was the Thai sweet chilli ones, mate.
He's done that before, hasn't he, about sensations.
But is it me? Or does his omission coincide with some weird social media posts recently?
Maybe. I mean, I don't think so.
We don't know.
I don't think so. I certainly don't think that would be Iriola anyway. No chance, because, yes, obviously it worked out, but he's played Billing every game when he's available. So he obviously, as we all do, rates Billing as one of our best players. He's certainly not going to go, I could afford to take a gamble and just leave him out because of an Instagram post when his job's on the line. I don't think so. I think it's a coincidence. But
his posts are weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... You know, there'll be people that are more clued up on it than me and all that kind of stuff that's going on. I don't really understand what he puts half the time. But whatever, really. I just don't really take much notice of it as long as he's doing it on the pitch, which he normally does. But yeah, I think it's probably coincidence. I think with having the break as well, I think if he has picked up, had a few bad sensations, then, you know, he's not just having a week off, he's having a few off because we've got the break. So, yeah, I didn't really think too much of it, but it was a surprise, wasn't it? Because we never heard anything about him potentially being out. So that was a blow ahead of kickoff. Apart from that, it was just the goalkeeper situation.
Well, that's right. I was about to say a few surprises, really. Well, two surprises, I suppose, his omission. And then Neto, we heard on the Friday after we had recorded our preview, because I think you tipped Mark Travers to,
which technically Travers was out of Rado.
Very true. These are the team lineups for those listening on the audio pod. It is from Neto, then right to left, Aarons, Zabani, Senesi, Kelly in the 4-2-3-1. So Christian Cook just in front, Cliver playing in that number 10 role, Tavernier on the left, Semenya on the right, Solanke up top, and then Newcastle United, I mean, they were missing a number of key players, one of which was Callum Wilson. Did he play the last time?
He
didn't call.
No, never fancied, was
it? He did. It's always like Lewis Grabbing against Millwall. Oh, yeah. Do you remember? He never played against
him. And Bruno Guimaraes was suspended last time, the first time he played last season as well. So, yeah. But the only surprise for me was obviously Livermento was on the bench, they played Lewis Miley, didn't they?
I mean, they're experienced players, though. They, you know, that's a side that should be able to get results against Man United in the Carabao Cup. They had a weaker inside, and then they won 3-0 at Old Trafford. So, really, it was always going to be a test regardless. But let's just talk about this Neto situation then, because he was...
As I'd said, we need him back. We need our main man in goal.
But did you, though?
Nope.
No, but you did say on the vlog, to sort of caveat your point, you said, look, I'm a bit sceptical, but all I want to do is for him to have a blinder. And
I worry, that was my main concern.
I don't think he had a blinder, but he didn't really do much wrong.
Absolutely fine, though, yeah. But he didn't need to. I do think, Radin come in, didn't he, against Burnley? He didn't have a blinder. He done everything fine. And to be fair, I think one save from Neto was at Longstaff first half.
Yeah, he did well.
That's a good save.
Yeah.
Like, tip it over the bar. That's a good save. I thought all the other ones were kind of good. He done his job. Like, you should be saving them.
Well, one of them in the first half that I think he had to adjust because it came off, was it?
Yeah,
it was a far stick. And it was flagged for offside, but I think had it gone in, I think they would have called it back and VAR would have overturned it, because I don't actually think it was. I think he adjusted to that well. With the second half, there was a dodgy moment as well, but he managed to sort of get himself out of trouble there. But really, I think he probably should have done better. But, you know what? When you're eating your half-priced pizzas on Saturday night, you know that Neto's had a good game.
Yeah, and that's all I wanted. I was just... My concern was the season he's having. I just thought, if he makes an error in this game, it could get not nasty inside, but it could be his confidence is gone. He's our captain. We paid a fortune. We on what is going on here. We're stuffed. Like, if he's... So I just felt the only way we're going to be all right with that, he needs to come in, keep a clean sheet and just be fine. That's exactly what happened. So now you go, oh, maybe it was just a bit of a blip. You know, maybe that's... Hopefully he's gone in the dressing room now and everyone's going, yeah, see, it was only a blip. And maybe... No, it's just for argument's sake, we're in a positive mood. I'm going to leave the fact that I'm not convinced on him as a goalkeeper, just nothing else. Let's put that to the side and go, hang on, maybe this injury he's had, he's been carrying it, and maybe that's why he's not been right. And maybe they've gone, he can't keep playing on this injury, we'll have to bring Radu in for a few games, get Travis back. And now he's recovered and they've gone, right, let's see if that's, if he is recovered. And he looked fine, mate. It was absolutely fine. So I was delighted for him in the... Clean sheet was big as well. He didn't even get booked for time waste or anything. I'm really, really pleased for him. He was never going to be the best goalkeeper on the pitch when Nick Pope was having a game like that.
True.
But I was just pleased. What you want from now at the moment with the season he's had so far is us not to have to really talk about him. And we don't.
Yeah. All we're talking about is his inclusion in that side, which, you know, is not a bad thing. A couple of people have actually suggested that we mention the fact that obviously it was in May that his mum passed away. Yeah. And he's maybe been carrying some emotional stress as well that, I don't think he was particularly great at the start of the season. And there were bloopers, as there were, throughout spells last season. But particularly this season, I've never really seen anything like it as well. Maybe...
Been punished this season as well for him.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, combine a number of factors and that could have resulted in him being dropped, although it was the ankle. The ankle looked fine, actually. So I don't know. Like, we don't know the reasons why. But you know what?
And listen, if we've decided, and it wasn't just Iraola, before him, and if we've decided that he's the skipper, we made him skipper when we had a really bad place last season. We've decided on that. He's obviously a good bloke around the place. He's obviously got leadership qualities, whether that be on the pitch or off it. He's obviously quite liked around the group because you don't just make him captain for no reason. So all of that must be part of his character. So we just want him to just cut out the errors and then we'll be absolutely fine. I'm just glad that he come back in with no dramas.
Not as much of an Eddie Howe loving this time. I think that's probably expected.
Yeah, I think the result didn't play a part in that, in my opinion. I remember Eddie saying a lot last time that it was my first time back. I had to thank the supporters and we had to thank him. I think from now on, it's just going to be the odd Eddie, and Eddie gives a word and all that stuff. That's just the way it is, mate.
He's cold, hard and clinical.
Yeah, he is indeed.
Just like his intercourse. Absolutely.
Not clinical enough, mate. Not clinical.
Tell you what, we started so well on the front foot. And I've said to you before, I really feel as though the style that Iraola is trying to implement is a confidence-based system that, you know, once things are ticking and it's a well-oiled machine, I think the players will really benefit off that. And obviously, your confidence gets knocked when there are individual errors and things going wrong. But from the off, we took the game to them. And we were mixing it up. But one of the things that I really noticed firsthand, the high press. All the time, we were winning the balls back. We were winning the first and second balls, and we were creating chances. When first one was after 37 seconds, where Christie had a shot
on target.
Yeah. By the way, Ryan Christie. Does it annoy you that we have to have these conversations that we're sort of admitting that some weeks we're moaning and some weeks we're praising him to the utmost degree? I mean,
Ryan Christie in a nutshell, and I think he's
sensational.
If he could finish, we wouldn't have him. Because his off the ball and his work rate and his prep is just ridiculous. I hope he's having a lie down. I hope he had a real chill Sunday, mate. I don't know if he's got a miss or whatever, but I just hope she's looking after him. The bloke is, it was stoppage time and he's running around like a lunatic. He's injected with Red Bull, that guy. He is an absolute, he's everywhere. All other energy drinks are available, maybe Carabao.
But do you think that when he's making a cup of tea for his missus or she asks for a cup of tea, he races to the fridge?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I'm sure he must do. He grabs the milk and does everything so intensely. But yeah, I hope I'll be. But he was really good. Just. I mean, if he did have that end product, what value would you put on his head? I mean, blimey, yeah. I really don't know. But look, it was Cliver and Taff that were combining really well, and it was a good cutback where he was sort of on the edge of the box, and it was
high and bit too central.
Yeah, Pope sort of palmed it and then caught it, and then there was another one where Christie was being a total menace, and then a little touch set Semenyo free on the right hand flank where he cut it on his left foot. And I tell you what, he is menacing, isn't he? Like I said, and he was a strong run, left footed shot, powerful shot as well.
He's got that on both feet, isn't
he? His shots are really powerful. And, you know, Pope spilled that, Newcastle managed to clear, but good early signs from us.
Yeah, definitely. And I love, you know, just tapping Semenyo there. I like having a wide option as a real goal threat. You always feel, I know he didn't score in the game, you always feel like he can bag you a goal because he's played a lot of his career up top as well. I really like Antoine. I thought he was, as you say, a menace throughout. And just that pace going forward, I felt really hurt them. And, you know, kind of as you mentioned, mate, we're playing some nice football. But then when we go, actually, no, so let's turn them. Let's go a bit more directly. Yeah. Let's turn them because we've got pace. You know, why not? Why not try and turn their fullbacks when you've got Tavernier and Semenyo running at them and Cliver as well, who was obviously...
Who's playing the number 10?
Which I've never seen him play before. And I thought he was really good. I thought he was on the front foot as he always is. He drives, likes to run at people. We saw that in the cup game against Liverpool. Well, I thought he looked a real menace. So, yeah, so it's another little string to our bow, if you like, that I didn't know we had. If you had said to me, Billing's out, by the way, before the game, I'd go, well, it's Rothwell. There's no one else we can play. So really, really nice. And that is just so Iraola that you lose a centre midfielder, so you just go, oh, I just put a winger in there. I mean, just front foot. And that's what we've been calling for. It was so good to watch. And, it felt like every time we turned them and we got forward that we could hurt them. And we haven't seen that a lot of the time. So that was... That was really impressive. And it was... I do wonder if we looked at the fact that they were always going to have an inexperienced fullback. They went with Hall at the start and then they brought on Livramento. And there was always a chance that they were going to play Lewis Miley, the young lad, for his Premier League debut, I think, starting in defensive midfield. So maybe Iraola knew that and thought, you know what? If they've got a youngster playing in that role, let Cliver run at him. Because, you know, he's going to be a bit... nervy or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it worked from minute one. And as I say, the only concern was, are we going to finish our bloody dinner here?
Yeah, and in the first half, we certainly didn't do that. One of the things that was notable as well, I think we said on the preview, that Newcastle's average formation in the last four games has been very narrow. So we were using our width really well, I thought, throughout the whole game. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And the pressure that we were putting on them, I think there was a stat that came up on Sky Sports after about 60 minutes or so, 65 minutes, saying that we'd won the ball back in their sort of in their defensive third nine times to their one in ours. So that and you could see that like total pressing was really working for us, and we were winning the ball back. We were calm on the ball, like everything was combining really well. The crowd were up for it as well.
And that's what I want to say.
It
about
was working.
Yeah, 100%. So I was about to say that because obviously we talk about that press, and you mentioned that stat there. I also think it's only right to say on the opposite side. Eddie plays high press, but the other reason why he was so much in our favour was because at the back, that we were press-proof. Kelly was brilliant when he got the ball. Zabadi did for right. Senesi was superb.
Senesi was great.
Lewis Cook dropping in, and none of them looked like they were going to get caught out. We've seen this season, I think, probably more so Senesi and Zabadi in particular, they can occasionally get caught. Yeah. We've seen that. And it goes back to that confidence, and they look like they feel a bit more confident. I like Lewis dropping in there, being happy to receive the ball. Aaron's at right fullback as well. So, yeah, as much as we were pressing them really well, we were also making sure we weren't getting pressed at the other end. We looked quite calm. So that was great to see, mate. And Kenny playing kind of left back means you can tuck him in. Aaron's can go in. You could be a bit more fluid.
There was loads of fluidity. By the way, after 12 minutes, this was another stat that popped up. AFC Bournemouth had 6 touches in the opposition box. Newcastle had 0. So we were all over them. And like you say, defensively, I thought our shape was really good. Sometimes Taff was coming back, filling in.
Yeah.
I know it's Lewis Cook, sometimes dropping deep. Senesi sometimes going forward and just getting those little nicks on the ball and challenging, winning it back, setting the wheels in motion.
Yeah.
Senesi was also mixing up a lot. Senesi more than most, more than Zabani, with the long balls of just finding the channels, just stretching them out.
I think that was
a quality thing to do.
I honestly think that was the, because I couldn't understand why he brought him in. I thought, well, Meppen hadn't really done anything wrong, so if you're going to play Kelly as more of a left back and not play Kirkes, I think everyone would have said, well, it'll be Meppen and Zamani then. And he went with Celestia and didn't really know why. And then you look at it now, obviously in hindsight, and you go, well, with the pace we had, because Clive was added to it, and obviously you've already got Tav, you've already got Semenya, you know that Solanke's a royal day for you. I think he's bought Senesi in because he thinks if we have to go direct, he's got that range of passing. And the amount of times we're knocking it about, and Senesi will just see Tav or Semenya go and just spray it. And even Sinisterra would come on as well. And his passing range is brilliant. And I think
we were holding the ball up well this time.
Yes, we were. But I think, you know, everyone will talk about the, you know, how good we were offensively and the goals and stuff. But if you go back on both the goals, Senesi's got a big part to play. Even that second, you think, well, that was a set piece. A set piece from a Tavernier shot, that the ball to Tavernier was Senesi. Senesi was brilliant, I thought. And he probably hadn't had the greatest start to the season. But I thought he was really, really good coming into midfield, as you say, as well. Really aggressive. And yeah, but his range of passing was really, really good. Yeah, it was really impressive with him.
I thought, and the fullbacks as well. I mean, Lloyd Kelly was a Rolls Royce. I thought Max Ahrens was so good, so energetic, you know, getting up the pitch. We'll just actually take a look at the average positions at this point in time. And I mean, that is superb, really, from Bournemouth. I mean, that's probably what you'd expect. You've got the high-pressing fullbacks there.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more defensive, maybe. No, actually, the eye test proved completely different. But you can see when Adam Smith came on, he was a lot deeper there, because I think I think Anthony Gordon went on a few runs down that left flank, and him and Lewis Cook did. But look at this.
They're very narrow.
They are incredibly narrow, but also they're deep as well.
Look at that.
This is us. We are penning them back.
We are, mate. Yeah, we really did. I don't think they just never got scripts with it. I mean, Eddie said after the game, we just weren't our usual selves. You know, and that's credit to us, I think. Yeah, they couldn't get their flow going at all. And yeah, we stifled everything they did. And I think it really surprised them probably. But yeah, we did pin them back, mate, from minute one, really. And credit to ourselves for that. And that high press, I think they didn't expect it.
But do you think that weakness in their middle, you benefited Cliver? Because I remember that chance he had. It was really good. I think Lewis Cook won the ball back very deep into his own half. And he bombed forward, drove forward, and then threaded the eye of the needle to find Cliver, who turned on the ball, then ran ahead. He did have options left and right, and actually the shot was better than I thought.
It wasn't
sort of top left-hand corner, but it was a savable height. Yeah. But, you know, Pope had to work to save it. But, nice to see him getting on the ball and actually, you know, having the confidence to drive at goal. And, it was a good shot, really.
And more of a weapon than I thought we had in Clover, in the sense I thought he's probably an impact sub off the wing. And you're going, yeah, he could well be that, and he would be able to do that. But he can also, we've seen that he's probably got enough quality to start games, he has done. Either side, I think he's been good on the left, been good on the right. He's now shown he can play in the 10. And you look at the way he played in the 10, you go, he could probably play up alongside Donnelly even more if we needed him to. So, yeah, probably he's got a lot more than I expected him to have. And, yeah, he was a player that kind of went, I want to try and take my chance here, really help us. And that was great. And he was good off the ball as well with his press and stuff. So, yeah, really pleased for Clive. Really, really pleased. I think that goal against Liverpool in the Cup,
yeah,
the performance there, I think has really done him the world of good. He's got that off his back now. We'll talk about Sinisterra later. And it's another argument for, once again, that goal, which obviously Sinisterra's just done at City. Semenyo did it earlier in the season. Clive has done it. It feels like a lot of them attacking players, it's like, oof.
It helps massively.
helps massively. And and you see that with Don get the goal and then he gets another one straight away.
If you're a Newcastle fan, your chances are few and far between. We've talked about that Neto save. I think that's from Longstaff, and also the sort of save that he made that was actually offside, but was it? We don't know, but rarely tested. So as a Newcastle fan, your enthusiasm levels and your optimism levels may be about getting something out of this. Maybe you've got faith because it's Eddie and you know what he can do. You know what he did against Manchester United. But then you see Almiron.
Oh, God, yeah.
And you must be thinking, bloody hell. And many times during the game, the camera panned over to Eddie and he was mouthing the word, "This is unbelievable."
Right.
And obviously he's getting so frustrated with how things are. I mean, you certainly would be. But when he comes off and then Matt Ritchie comes on to fill.
Yeah, mad. And obviously, all that obviously come off Ramon on that right wing, which he hadn't done since he played for Arsenal. I think obviously he's had a few there for Newcastle, but not for a long time.
So if we can't smell blood at that point,
well, exactly.
When can we?
I think I said it half time. Like this, we're not going to get a better opportunity to be Newcastle, I don't think, ever, honestly, because of the way they obviously the trajectory that Newcastle were going in. So yeah, that was a real blow for them. Aaron was causing a few little problems just because he's a clever player. I don't think he was really getting much out of Lloyd Kelly anyway, to be honest. But obviously, yeah, that was another plus for us. But they could, I mean, I'm not going to go for it now, but they could definitely have a strong 11 of injured players. So, you know, I do feel for them in that sense. And, you know, they've still got a group there that work their nuts off. But you feel like it done rain at pause, do you know what I mean? And Eddie was really getting there. And yeah, nice for us to see Matty come on. But I did then straight away go, he come on against us before and scored. But yeah, that would have been a huge blow for him. And then you know, as a Bournemouth fan, you go, their whole subs bench, apart from goalkeepers and Paul Dunnett, who's a defender, a youth team. So they have not got a lot of armour on that bench now. Let's go and take it to them. And we carried on doing so.
We did. There was a great chance for Semenyo when the ball was... it was a long ball again that found Solanke. And he did this cheeky little back heel. I think the way that Semenyo's body was positioned, I think... ideally he'd have hit it with the outside of his right foot or maybe with his left, but he side footed with his right, so it was always going to be curling wide. But good chance. And then there was another chance that was really good where Christie like looped a ball over and Semenyo just failed to control. Had he hit it first time, I think he'd have scored from there. But that was towards the end of the first half. But signs were positive, but as positive as we were about the performance, there's always that element of doubt. Like, we've had so many chances here. We haven't taken any of these. Let's just hope this doesn't come back to bite us, as previous performances have suggested. But you know what? The second half, we started as we meant to go on. And it was just I felt we controlled the whole game.
I agree.
And there's not once where we've ever said that this season. There's been 45 minutes, like at Brighton or whatever, albeit we conceded at the end of that first half. But there have been extended periods of time where we've dominated and we thought, yeah, this is what we want to see, but never in 90 minutes. This was a 90-minute performance.
Yeah, and people could say about kind of the injuries that they've got. We hadn't even done that against Swansea or Stoke in the Cup.
True.
We didn't control that for 9 minutes. We were awful in the first half against Stoke, and the Swansea game, we were awful at the start as well. So, you know, this was the first time. I agree, mate. And I was concerned at half-time because, as we said, we didn't get that goal. And there was a lot of people, you know, tongue-in-cheek, obviously, they're going, God, this is pretty good, isn't it? Lose 1-0. Like, that's how it felt, because that's how it feels it's going for us at the moment. And you just felt like, oh, they'll get a chance and put it away. But, you know, credit to the players. And you know, they really believed in what they're doing. I think they could see in that first half that playing this way, we're getting opportunities. As you kind of mentioned earlier on, when we've tried to play that way, we get caught on the break and they score. And that's going to kill your confidence because you're going to go, we can't keep playing this because we get caught. But suddenly you're going, actually, I trust what's behind me at the moment. We're doing all right. So, yeah, really pleased that we start the second half off in the same vein, mate. And yeah, I suppose it didn't take too long, did it? Till we when was the goal? Was it about the hour?
60 minutes. The match timeline is there on the screen for you to see. What I didn't realise and what we didn't realise, I posted you a clip earlier on our WhatsApp group. I didn't see the chance that Dom Solanke had where he sort of rounded Nick Pope, but just, I don't know, he shinned it out of play. But that has sort of set the wheels in motion for this like positive style of football continuing. They had an isolated chance. We've talked about it already, where sort of Trippier. I think Lewis Cook gave away a free kick.
Yeah, it was
Anthony Gordon. They sort of, he was saying he slipped, but I don't know.
He did look like he kind of slipped, and then he fouls him. Yeah, I think it was hard to give him the yellow, actually, because I think it was like one of his first fouls. But Trippier's got that delivery on him. It was a wire. Just hell of a delivery.
Yeah, just whips it into the danger zone, and Neto sort of isn't sure whether, I think he got a bit of criticism from fans, and he's just not sure whether anyone's going to touch it or not. So he kind of looks very unsure. But in the end, he sort of manages to clear it just about. Yeah. I mean, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, right?
We definitely are on this show, mate, because we've got to be positive about everything after that. So, yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, he's done the job. The ball didn't go in the net.
The ball didn't go
in the net. That's what he's there for.
But, yeah, you know, that was the bad side of Lewis Cook giving away our free kick. I mean, that was, Lewis Cook was just unbelievable. And there was just 3 minutes later, he was all over the pitch, by the way, Lewis Cook, all over the pitch. That point in time, he was in the right-back position. Later on, he's on the left wing or left-back position, left wing-back position, winning the ball back, plays it into Senesi, who does that lovely turn to then feed Semenyo. And look, the way the ball falls to Solanke is maybe a little bit fortuitous, but he was the one that was active mentally to actually then get on it. The Newcastle players were flat-footed. Takes it onto his right foot. And I wasn't sure from my angle, like, has he gone across the keeper? But near post?
Yeah.
Ball goes into the back of the net. No Archer celebration. Wham, bam's the corner flag. And that's because CBS was doing the make some noise for the boys, right?
Tell you what, I hope he's all right because I think he was ill. But Botto, do we need Botto? That's what I'm saying. You know, CBS comes in through. Now, obviously we need Botto. I miss Botto. It's always weird when there's no Botto. We've had it before, haven't we? But no, yeah, nice little touch there with the boxing celebration. But
hey, by the way, can I just give Zoe Randall a shout? I think she did really well.
Oh, yeah, Zoe.
I think she did really well. And it was CBS that did the make some noise for the boys, wasn't it? But I think everything else went really smoothly. So,
yeah.
And you know what? What a winning record. She was on the PA last week as well, where the women's team won 4-0. And we're going big. So basically, we haven't conceded any goals. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, if Mike's watches, I'm sorry. But we're just talking facts.
Spin facts.
Yeah, just spin facts. But no, yeah, it was just that relief in the stadium I felt when that goal went in. Because, like I say, it's on the hour mark. If it gets any later, you start thinking it's not going to come, is it? And then you start panicking and then you think we're going to get caught.
And that tension probably reverberates around the players as well at that point, thinking, hang on, we are dominating this game, but it's just not quite happening. And that would make you clam up. But it was that uncorked sort of tension amongst the stadium. And scenes in the North Stand. It was brilliant to be in amongst it I was. And, you know, capturing all the excitement on the vlog. Brilliant. And so after that, you're just wanting us to, you know, to push on and push on.
Yeah, I think you're caught in the moment, so you're. But I think if you actually sat down for about half that goal, you'd be thinking, just don't go deep. Because how many teams, we've done it a lot last season, and you think you go 1-0 up, but don't change.
That's when you're desperate for it.
Yeah, you do worry that even if it's not tactically from the people in the dugout, mentally as players on the pitch, you finally got that goal, psychologically you could just go, just drop a little bit.
Yeah.
Drop a little. Let's hang on. Because I felt we did that against City, where we got a half an hour doing all right, and then we went, we're nearly at half time. Just sit out, and then we can see 3 goals. So that was my concern. But if you ever want a gaffer to show the players, we are not sitting on this. You've just gone 1-0 up against a team in the Champions League. You're desperate for a win, and you bring on Sinisterra.
Yeah.
That is a manager that's saying, we're doing fine here. How many managers, won't name any names, would go, bring on a defensive midfield player, bring on a centre half and go hang on to it. Yeah. That changed for me. Aaron's had to come off, obviously, he got knocked, so you just go light for light, right back for right back. But Clivers ran his race. Okay, how many would, forget Joe Rothwell, which would have been defensive, would have bought on a Mepham? Or even a Kirk as a move Kelly inside. That's what I thought he was going to do. He brings on Sinisterra, who's so attacking.
Yeah, there are times where that can backfire, of course. And then if we can see people saying, well, why didn't you bring it? But you know what? We were doing so well playing offensively. So why not carry it on? And we took the game to him. And it wasn't long after that substitution. I think, what was it? 4 minutes or so? 2-0 up, mate. Dom Solanke there again. You know what? That goal reminded me of another goal.
Oh, does it? That goal reminded you of a goal, did it? What goal?
No, it reminded me of the finish.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just talk me through how the goal came about, because we earned a corner, but that corner came about.
Yes, Senesi again.
Senesi
gets the ball back. He sees Tav doing all game running hard, and those Sinisterra one on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Sees them two both going, so he sends that ball. I think Sinisterra makes a good first touch, doesn't he, and plays it to Tav. But yeah, either way, Tav hits a... the shot that actually is bending in, I think. Pope does well.
What's going in, yeah.
Pope does well to save it. And then obviously, as always, amazing set pieces as we are. And a Sinisterra. The ball, I didn't realise till afterwards. Sinisterra leaps and heads it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. I thought you just like poked it.
Some people thought that it was cleared, but it actually did hit the post. And yeah. Lewis Cook's corner delivery, by the way, I thought was better.
Yeah,
he's good. Learning off Alex Scott.
Yeah.
Or the other way around. Who knows?
Who knows?
But yeah, really good delivery. And Sinisterra just got in front of his marker. And then it fell to Domsak at awkward height, like hip height.
Yeah, horrible.
But do you remember?
Do you remember?
When we played Birmingham at home, championship winning season, 2-0 down.
Yeah.
Steve Cook pops up. Yeah, I think there's a reverse angle on YouTube.
Once.
And, I'm pretty sure there is. And he does exactly the same thing. He's almost like a rainbow flick.
Yeah.
And puts it into the net. And rapturous celebrations around Dean Court. VAR stepped in. A potential half. No Newcastle players claimed.
There was
no claims.
You know when they look for our ball? There wasn't one. So that's why the ref didn't give it. And that's why no one complained about it. Why? Doesn't matter. I know nothing happens. I didn't matter. It won't run a really long time. But it's like going,
no one claimed for it.
It's like going, hang on, let's check to see if there's, just because it was a little bit of a scramble, there must have been some sort of, just leaving.
Not even close, was it?
No, it wasn't. But then you start in the stadium, you're going, oh, okay, what happened?
It does my head
absolutely fine. And it was actually Solanke there, we check in.
Yeah.
Who just kicked in. But anyway, yeah, that is what you want from a centre forward. You want a goal. Yes, it's nice to score really good goals and that what he does with the run, the first goal. But sometimes you think you want your centre forward to just be there. Because that is a centre forward's job. Just be there. And sometimes, talking about it with my dad actually, Solanke, he works too hard. And that sounds ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. But sometimes he drifts out and because he's doing his stuff where it's just unbelievable, the work rate, he's on the ball. And you feel like he's, as soon as he gets it, he's looking for someone. Mm. Whereas go, no, you're look for the goal. Mm. And so for him to get two goals, I know you like to share it around, but that's what I want at the moment. He's already equaled his tally of last season. Who could have imagined that playing offensive football would be a benefit to our front man, eh? He got six, was it six last season?
Yeah, well, yeah.
He's got that already. Yeah. We're in November. I'm telling you now, just everyone give it time. We're playing attacking football and our strikers in November already equaled last season.
I'm sure that on one of James Allcott's narratives, you said about Dom Solanke, didn't you?
Maybe. Dom Solanke isn't a prolific enough goal scorer for the Premier League. That is what many fans of other clubs say about our front man. But listen, Bournemouth fans will tell you, we may well be in the Championship right now if it wasn't for Dom. He gives us so much more than goals. And with our previous managers playing a pragmatic approach, Dom was often isolated up top on his own. This season, with the new gaffer, the new style, I think he'll flourish. He'll hit double figures. Don't worry about that.
Come on, Tommy Jordan. Don't stop that man when he's in his flow. You do not stop him. We do not pause that. Tom, me and you look, we know. We go way back, me and Tom Jordan.
I think you did. And by the way, sorry to go all Alan Partridge, but can I shock you for a minute?
Please do.
I like wine. No, I'm not going to go that Partridge. That was, and I know we beat Leeds 4-1.
Yeah.
I know we beat Spurs at their place.
Mm.
That was the best I've felt in terms of our style of football since Eddie Howe.
Yeah, performance.
And I know that sounds a ridiculous thing to say because we've had some incredible moments, individual moments, but in games where there's been some ebb and flow. But with that, and especially the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, I would say.
So were the old days.
Yeah, I'd say the only times where it felt like that, since Eddie, was Championship. That's what I feel like. I'd caveat with you saying that in the Premier League.
Under Scott Parker.
There were games, mate. Do you remember Bristol City away, by the way? But yeah, I agree in the Premier League in terms of just thinking, this is great or what. I just sit back and enjoy. I never felt they're going to come into the game. And we mentioned at the start of the show about this style of football and how key confidence will be.
Yeah.
All you need, the way it is proven, is the fact that we have so many chances after that second goal. Mm-hmm. Because that proves the second goal's got in. They go, we've won the game. Not being funny, it's a disaster now. We're 2-0 up. Let's relax and play. And suddenly, even though we were playing well before that, because we've got the 2-0 lead, the confidence is there because they're going, we can just play football now. We, at one point, we were going, wait, what is going on? But Sinny, by the way, when he came on.
He had four clear chances. Would you be able to talk me through them or can you remember the finishes of the four chances that he had.
I don't know if I'll get him in the
They were all shots, yeah. Don't worry about
it. He had one where could have laid it off maybe, and he had it kind of, not straight at the keeper, but he kind of parried it, and Slanky tried to get the rebound, but Pope just grabbed it.
Yeah.
There was one that he hit just wide, he kind of hit the side net.
Yeah.
There was one where he swiveled like, and he got blocked.
Like Callum Wilson against Bowen, like that, but from the opposite side.
But he was blocked by the defender.
Then
it was the one where it was deflected and Nick Pope makes an incredible save.
Is he involved in the England setup, by the way?
No.
How?
He's not in the top three English goalkeepers.
He's unreal. I mean, that they have him to thank because I'm not being funny.
He was class,
if it weren't for him, it would have been about 4 or 5
years.
He was absolutely brilliant.
I was shouting, England's number four to him. But yeah, the save for the deflected shot from Sinisterra, I can't remember exactly who got the block in, but that just looks like it's going to how he gets a big shot. Because even if he gets the answer, you think when he'll go into the net, unbelievable shot.
But like you say, Sinny, I mean, his chances per minute ratio in that game must have been very... There were times where he maybe could have laid it off, but you know what? He scored in the last game.
Yep.
Why wouldn't he? We were comfortable.
Yep.
And he needs the confidence. Why not have a go? And look, whilst he didn't score, I think that kind of performance will do wonders for his confidence. And he was just great on the ball, wasn't he? His link-up play was good.
Yeah, even when he used it well. Yeah, even there was a few times where he got it and a little bit deeper and he was just letting it back and going again. There was one where I think he won the ball back quite deep and just laid it off and went. And I thought, and Andoni's kind of alluded to it. And I think some of the reporters and people in the Echo stuff have kind of alluded to the fact that Sinisterra, people forget, he come in, he had a bit of an injury and then he had international duty. And it was more that fitness and physically, was he ready yet? And that's why he hasn't played many, because we've all been going, well, we can see a bit more of him.
Yeah.
And then now it looks like he's finally ready. So he chucks him on against City and he scores. And then he's gone in a game where we're 2-0 up, but you've got a lot of subs there that you could bring on. You know, people like you, Brooksies, now who don't get on. And it's almost like he's gone, no, you're ready now. And you can see it. So maybe it's been more of a fitness thing. And now, because I think he's a player, isn't he? He's a player. You can see that technically. And now it looks like he's physically up to the level as well. So really pleased with him because it almost feels like a new signing.
Yeah.
So really nice. And as you say, he could have got four himself. Solanke's already got a couple and could have had another. We've already talked about all them chances in the first half. Even Christie had more than one shot on target.
Yeah.
Tavernier scuffed one wide.
Oh, that was a great chance.
Great chance. That don't even make the highlights because that's how many chances we had.
I forgot about that.
He just gets it all wrong, doesn't he?
And also Semenyo's taken off. Ouattara comes on. He has a shot that goes down the throat of Nick Pope. And really...
That was another one he could have laid off.
But I thought he did all right. His pace was there to be seen.
That's why he's ahead of Brooks in the pecking order. Yeah. Because David Brooks, and this is no slant to anyone, but David Brooks is technically a miles better footballer than Dango Ouattara. Mm. But Ouattara gives you more what Andoni wants at the moment, I think. So it is what it is. But yeah, Dango come on and just was lively. Won a really good free kick for us as well. And obviously Roth will come on right at the end. But we virtually everyone had chances. That's what's nice. We talked about Clive having a shot. Chrissy's had a chance. Tavernier's had chances. Semenya's had chances. Sinisterra's had chances. Dango's had chances. Solanke's. They've all had chances in the game, which is which is great to see because that means, you know, everyone's popping up and
Really nice, mate. Really, really nice. You know what's really frustrating though is that the fact is international break and in a way we can have done without that. And also for another reason, like Andoni Iraola won't be on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's true. I've heard they've cancelled Monday Night Football because they thought Bournemouth won.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But anyway, absolutely buzzing for him. I know what you mean because I always feel like that. Once you've won, you go, I wish I won another game.
Yeah.
But equally, last time in international break, we just lost to Everton. Worst performance of the season, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And we thought it's good that we've got a break now and then we come back and lost anyway.
Yeah.
To Wolves, even that was a one engagement we went to 10 men. Let's get some more stuff done on the training ground. If Aaron's has picked up a bit of a knock, probably better that we've got an extra week. If Billin picked up a bit of a knock, probably better he's got an extra week. So yeah, let's look at it like that, I guess. And let's kick on and just nice to enjoy. And don't get me wrong, this is not me trying to say that I didn't enjoy any football last season. There was some you mentioned the Tottenham away game where we scored last minute and Leeds. Some great moments, but I just
a complete performance.
It was more that it's just a style I like. Sometimes there's something really about kind of backs to the wall 1-0 wins and stuff, which is great. But you know, we done it at St Mary's last season. Like, what a feeling that was. I'm not going to pretend I didn't enjoy that.
No.
But it feels like it's been because Parker was always a quite pragmatic manager, and then And Woodgate, for a short spell, and obviously with COVID and stuff, was quite a pragmatic manager. Jason Hill wasn't a manager. And Gary Neil was a little bit more pragmatic. It feels like it's just been so long since I've seen a team just going, just, and I just, I, that me personally, it's a personal preference. I just love watching it.
And we're not saying that everything is immediately okay again, because we just need to be doing that.
I'll take eight.
Consistently.
You take eight. I'll take eight from an FA Cup.
Sheffield United up next. You got a decent point against Brighton. I mean, they were down to 10 men.
Context, but they still had to get the job done. And, you know, listen, we've played against 10 men at Anfield. It's difficult still. Brighton were in the lead, and then they went down to 10 men. And Sheffield still had to go and get that goal, which they did. I was there, and then by the end, I'm thinking, just don't go and win it. But apart from that, I know, obviously, you can say Wolves and Everton on the Saturday. Apart from that, the weekend went pretty well for us. But I just think at the moment, I'm not... Yes, you obviously always want results. Everyone wants results to go their way. But really, at the moment, I'm going, if we could play like that, and we keep doing that, and we start seeing the signs, because it's a long-term project... If we start seeing it slowly, slowly get better, small steps, going to have the odd blips along the way, but so we'll be absolutely fine. If we play like that, there is no way we're going down. It's just we've got to try and get that a bit more consistently, because as you said, mate, we've only seen sprinklings of it.
I think Newcastle's style did play into our hands a little bit. And I think, you know, ironically, we will have a lot more difficult matches against teams that might want to deploy a low block or be more physical even.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but... That's Newcastle's first defeat to a team starting in the bottom eight for a year and a half since March 2022. And a brief word on Newcastle. I mean, I feel for Eddie. I mean, you know, in the game, I think their distribution was poor at times. They looked tired. And I think individually, I think the players weren't up to it. But even as a collective, they just looked a bit knackered. And I mean, they do need this break. And for them, I certainly hope that they can get maybe even a couple players back. Yeah. I don't know how many they will get back, but obviously we know Bruno.
He'll be back, yeah.
He'll be back. Then. But, tough times. And we always wondered, like, how much this intense fixture schedule would take its toll on Eddie Howe's boys. And it's like he's been thrown into the deep end.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And it's
been there before, though, right?
Oh, God, yeah, he's used to it. But this is what happens. If you're not Man City... This can happen because we've only seen it. We briefly mentioned it. You know, Tottenham, and then suddenly they lose to Wolves. You know, it because the squad is. You saw it last season with Arsenal. Looked like they could win the league. They really looked like they could win the league, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, Saliba gets injured.
Yeah,
you know, that's all it takes. Even City had a dodgy little spell this season because Rodri was out.
Yeah.
Like. You need to keep your players fit, and that's what. And I think what's difficult at the moment, because they've got so many out, even the players play. You know, sometimes when you get a few out and a player goes, oh, this is my chance.
Yeah.
Like we said about Clive, let's say. They've got so many out that the players that are coming in, like Richie's going, well, I'm not playing for my pace, am I? I'm helping out because we're that. You know, Richie done thing now, I'm going to be in the team now. But, you know, they know that they're not. And I just want to briefly mention, because as usual, the media. I've made it a massive thing about Kieran Trippier at the end of the game. Yeah, we've all seen it. You don't need me to go on about it. And that is a load of rubbish, by the way, because I've seen loads of different ones. Like Adam Pearson, who we had on in the week, put a good video up. That this is the proper reflection of their stadium. Because all game, as much as we were buoyant and we were the louder team because we had a good game, blah, blah, blah. They were all game one looking here and were singing Eddie's name. Mm. When he walks over, there's a great video, as I say, I think it's Adam Pearson's. Eddie goes over and they're all singing Eddie. Oh, geez. They just lost 2-0 to Bournemouth. They're all chanting his name. And all the media have looked at is one little thing with Kieran Trippier down. We've got a lot of injuries.
Highlighted by Gary Lineker and co.
Of course. When actually 99.9% was just Newcastle fans cheering for their team all game.
And I think Newcastle fans, by the way, they ooze class. The comments on our vlog. I mean, look, I put a tweet out earlier saying, I mean, winning's not a feeling that we've experienced much this season, but it happened last season. We always had very salty comments from the opposition fans when we got the result. Yeah. But Newcastle fans were just full of praise and congratulation for our style of play. They're, you know, kind of saying, you'll be all right. So thank you so much. If you've subscribed as a result of that, we also want to say thank you as well. Tom, we can't let you go before talking about man of the matches and stuff, because there's always different ones on Twitter. There's ones in the stadium.
Yes.
There's your one on Telegram. There's the who scored one as well. So tell me about the man of the match that was announced in the grounds?
In the ground was obviously Dominic Solanke.
Yeah, okay. On social media, did you see...
I'm going to have a quick little just reminder. But yeah, what I will say is, with just while I'm looking for it, is Bournemouth, bless them, they do get it wrong sometimes.
Was Steven in the vote?
He wasn't in the... And I know, don't get me wrong...
There's only four options, I think, on Twitter.
Yeah, you only have four options. And don't get me wrong, you could make a case for any four.
Yeah, you could.
Because even if you went for someone that, say, wouldn't stand... So say you go, oh, Zabani didn't stand out, but he was part of a clean sheet. Neto was part of... So you could make a case for any... But you've got to have Chrissy in that four. Yeah. And he wasn't, and a lot of people were saying that. But they did tweet after saying that's why we're keeping him until 2027 and put all his stats up and stuff. Yeah. It was closer than I thought on... the pod, I'm just going to see. It was close between Lewis Cook and Dominic Solanke, but they actually also put Lloyd Kelly and Semenya. But I think Lewis Cook might have got it online, mate. Yeah,
interesting. And what about yours on... have you had a Telegram? Have you? Well, look, if you are a supporter of Back of the Net via a monthly donation, and by golly, we need them with the equipment that keeps to be getting rain damaged.
There was no rain there, was there?
There was no rain, mate. We were absolutely fine.
Lovely.
Using the spare camera,
yeah,
we were all right. But if you are one of them, truly, thank you so much. We have a Telegram group, a WhatsApp group, basically, where people can chat, and it's a really lovely, safe community. And in it, you post your player rating show. A 13-minute special this week, mate.
Yeah, and I was giving around 10, didn't I? And I just... I think it was just, you know, when you just like chat away when it's always positive, and then you go, and then I looked and went, oh, bloody hell, I'm well over.
Yeah.
Because you just want to talk about it.
Who did you give your man of the match to?
Did I go? Oh, yeah, I did go. So I think what I did is I went, I can't not. He scored two goals. But if it wasn't for that, Ryan Christie was an absolute joke. I can make the case for, and I think I said to you, mate, I was saying to a few people, because obviously he was on telly as well, like my dad and brother and stuff like that. I was kind of, what was it like on telly? We all know Dom's like, we all said about Christie, and they went, Lewis Cook was sensational, ran the game, and it allowed you to do what you did going forward. But yeah, good point. A lot of people were going, well, my dad actually said to me, oh, I get why everyone wants Lloyd Kelly now.
Yeah.
So, and that's something that, you know, you see on telly. A few people were going, I'll tell you what, Aaron's don't get the credit he deserves. Then there's a few people saying, oh, Clive, of course. But yeah, there was so many good performances, which is what you want. And you want those different man of matches, different people. But at the end of the day, if your centre forward works his socks off like he did, you win 2-0 when he gets both goals.
Mm.
He's got to get it for me, mate.
Stats wise, who's the.
Oh, yeah, I mean, look, the one, the old sofa thingy.
On the who scored, man of the match, who scored. Who are you going for?
Well, who I think it'll be.
Yeah.
Dom.
Let's see whether he's right. It is Dom Solanke. Yeah, 9.2.
Oh,
really good from him. All very good ratings as a collective, 7.14 as well. Sinisterra's up there, look, 7.1.
Yeah,
you have more Max Aarons and stuff. Neto, 7.7. So, yeah, Marici, 6.1. Nick Pope did well, actually,
8.1.
8.1.
Kieran Trippier.
Kieran Trippier, yeah. Ooh, and plus, I don't know if they take into account the fact that he had arguments with their. Probably not, I'm sure. Tom.
Yes, Sam.
There we go.
Oh,
yes! Oh, we won. It changes you, doesn't it? It's the optimism.
It does.
It's everything. But we need to follow it up. And it's Sheffield United next. And that would be depressing if we then go and lose one. Because they're going to be up for it.
I was going to say,
go
on. I remember giving you loads of stick about the fact that you went, oh, we're going to beat Man City. I mean, you grow up. We just lost 6-1. And I saved on my phone that at, I think it was... I want to say 6:20 p.m. after Man City. So we just lost 6-1 to Man City. I'm there going, Sam, drop me off. I walk home. I hate everything. And you said to me at 6:20 p.m. after we lost 6-1, we'll beat Newcastle next week. And then I thought, okay, just saying that tongue in cheek. Then we went into the preview.
Yeah.
What did you do in the preview?
Said Bournemouth 2, Newcastle 0.
That's exactly what you said, mate. So props to you, but also props to me for my reverse psychology. I said to you that I always say we're not going to win against Newcastle and then we never lose. Done it again. You're welcome.
But props to the fans. Like we said at the start of the show, it was brilliant. And that just shows how much we can make a difference. I made a comment that I felt a little bit bad about on the vlog. Where I sort of criticised, I didn't criticise, but I think it was, people were just singing Red Army, Red Army, Iriola, everything. And then I panned to the right and there was people just sat on their hands.
It's not easy for the effort, mate.
You sat in the north stand to surely be part of creating atmosphere, surely.
Yeah,
it's just frustrating when they don't.
No, no.
If we all get behind them, good things can happen.
Can indeed, mate.
And by the way, there was a start of a St Mary's Has Fallen Down.
Yeah, no, I did think they were singing that.
We started getting that, I'm sure, oh. The song at Sheffield United away. Can't wait.
A great way to end it, mate.
Billy, left footed, it's a cheeky one. Square!
Podcast Network.